point to say that. For those that don't know me, my name is Pete Hopper.
I'm Hopper, aren't you?
Yes, sure. Yeah, I think, yeah, all legal stuff is for me as well at the moment, so.
I think, so for the last two releases, so during the 1.7 release cycle, we noticed some issues with doing the ex-server development. In particular, 1.7.0 came out and was horribly broken. And 1.7.0 was okay.
Yeah, it was the fact that we had 34 months late because we switched release manager a few times.
Right, twice. And then 1.7.1 was supposed to come out, and what was the one that was delayed by like 18 months?
Oh, that was 1.4.1.
Okay.
1.7.1 had an ADI break, so I think 1.7.2 had an ADI break, so we had 1.7 to follow up like a week later. But that was generally as part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Happens.
Right. And so there was, we had a bunch of schedule issues and a bunch of very uncertain development processes and release content. Nobody quite knew what was going to be in the release, and nobody knew when the release was going to come out. And Michael had a good time predicting when X release was going to happen. I think he made a little cottage industry of articles about, well, it's still not here. And so there was concern within, certainly Peter expressed a concern that the development process wasn't doing what he needed as a distributor. And certainly from my perspective as a device driver provider, having uncertainty in the release process for the X-Server making it difficult for us to know which API to target and when features would land that we could depend upon. And because our driver in particular is very dependent upon the core server for offering a lot of the functionality that other drivers have moved into their driver, it was more critical from my perspective that we get the server development schedule more reliable so that we knew when features were going to be shipped. And so Peter put together a release process document, and there was not a huge amount of discussion, as I recall.
There wasn't anything new in there. I don't think it was surprising to anyone as a mobile, or was it? It's pretty much like plenty of other projects that do the same already, so it's mostly just writing it down.
Actually, there aren't, it's kind of surprising. Most projects, most open source projects these days, don't have a single point of control for their release branch. Right? Most of them are still, everybody commits whatever they feel like it.
All the projects of ASR.
If you're counting by number of projects, yes.
Yeah.
If you're counting by relative importance of projects, less so.
Yeah.
Like GCC certainly has release manager.
Right. Right. So as you move into the core of the operating system, it becomes pretty clear that operating system vendors in particular would really like to have a lot more predictability in when the project is going to ship the next release and what the content of the next release is going to be, and some knowledge that release is actually being reviewed and maybe even tested, and expectations. It's an open source project. Maybe our next release will be terrible, and then somebody else will take over. We may have a new method for getting other people to work on a project.
Or documentation.
It did work pretty well.
Good enough, guys. If something's good enough, I think it gets good.
That's right.
We need to be slightly worse than good enough.
Yeah.
Too bad.
So I know there have been some concerns that about having a single point of control to which all attaches go. I guess one of the things I wanted to talk about today was what I feel my role is. One of the things that my role definitely is not as the arbiter of haste or the arbiter of what goes into a release. I'm not controlling the content of what people are working on. I certainly comment on patches that I've looked at in terms of functionality and how things are implemented. in terms of the review process, but that's very separate from the release management process. I view my role as the current release manager for 1.10 as just making sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed for each patch that goes into the server. So as a release manager, all I'm doing is making sure that every patch that goes into the server is good enough to go into the server. And I'm really not talking about, you know, limiting what goes into the server in any way, or, you know, editorializing changes in any subsystem. There are vast areas of the server that I don't work on myself very closely, EXA, XKB, some of them more, some of them sadder than others. And so in those areas, I don't really, I can look at, you know, I can make, look at the code patch and say whether it has, you know, sensible comments. Oh, look, you've forgotten your apostrophe here. But there's not a lot of other stuff I can do. But for actually getting stuff into the server, all I'm trying to do is make sure that we're following the processes Peter outlined. And when I step outside the bounds of following the process, just let me know, hey, this is not, you know, you're doing something that's not part of the release management in your release management role. And so that's not my goal.
And my friend Sidey actually does that, because I've told Pete privately and publicly a few times for doing things that he wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
Who's there?
It's a slow process. So it's very much different from the GCC maintainer role, and very, very, very much different than the Linux maintainer role, where they perform a much more active process. But we have a really good group of developers, and we're really good at building consensus on what's a good direction for a lot of stuff. And so where we have obvious consensus, it's really easy as release manager to say, here's a person who has consensus among a bunch of developers, this is the right thing to do. I don't know if it's okay, but he has consensus among a bunch of sensible developers, and it goes. It's pretty easy for me to look at that kind of stuff and review it all. Other than that, mostly I just try to keep things on schedule. Daniel reminded me in the middle of the 1.9 process that I had promised to put together some new Rander patches, and they hadn't gotten in. I said, "Oh, I can put those in later after the release freeze." And Daniel said, "No, you can't." It's like, all right, after the freeze, new changes are not supposed to go in there.
Yeah,
exactly. So. Respecting your freezes. Do people have concerns about the way the schedules are structured right now in terms of the length of the freeze or the length of the window open or the three steps of the process? Do they know what the three steps are?
Could you go ahead and tell us?
Sure. So the first step in any new release is free-for-all, where people submit changes and patches that do whatever you want. And if you get consensus and it looks like a good thing, it goes into the server. So that ABI changes, new functionality, deleting old crap, cleaning up comments, anything can go into the, and we're in that process right now. In Linux kernel, that would be called the merge window. I merge all the time. I don't know why we call it a merge window, but it's kind of the free-for-all period. And then there's a, what do we call it next?
It's documented in some way. I think it was like feature merge, bug fixing,
and then stabilization or something. Oh. And so then the next one is where no new features are not welcome, but you can still put bug fixes in, and if those bug fixes involve ABI changes, that's okay. We're just trying to get bugs fixed. And those can be bugs you discovered recently, so they don't have to have Bugzilla numbers, but it's like, you know, this is broken, this needs to be fixed through the release. If you identify what's broken, just let us know it's broken and stick it in the patch. It's like, you know, I'm fixing this bug. And then the final phase is the last, it was really long. Dragging for release is kind of nice. It's like, every patch can get reviewed. It's like, oh, I only have two patches to look at today.
Well, the interesting thing with that is that we started for 1.8, was the first one that followed this, and it was kind of out of the blue because we started after 1.8 was actually open already.
Yeah.
So 1.9 was the first one that followed it from the beginning. And so I think everyone kind of got used to it as far as it goes. 1.10 is the first one where we have to merge into open because some of the apps have massive trees to be merged.
Yeah.
So we're actually now only starting to be interested in the testing phase where the process works and not.
Right.
Because I know I've got two more trees to be more interested in hacking those.
Yep. Yeah, and we're reviewing those trees before they're getting merged now.
Yeah, so but all these are ready to go.
So the last part is just no ABI changes, and we have our associated ABI indicator. That's Aaron. He's the only one who cares.
Oh yeah.
And you know he asks me now every release, are we ready to stabilize the ABI? And it's like, sure.
Yeah, you pretty much pick a time to say, okay, we don't think we're going to need to break ABI to fix bugs.
No, he asks. He is always proactive.
That wasn't true before.
No, and now it is. So now we have somebody who actually monitors the ABI, tells when it changes. And so monitoring patches to make sure they don't have an ABI effect is kind of a challenge. There's one patch sequence in 1.9 where, was Daniel or you added a const to a bunch of expose functions.
I didn't ask you to pull that in. No, we
talked about it. And it's like this is technically it's not actually an ABI.
Yeah,
change.
that was the input that you are the copy of the other. That's where I said that technically.
Yeah. And so we decided, even though it wasn't actually an ABI change because no driver was actually going to care. It's like, well, let's follow our process. This is an ABI change.
So just got a problem over here. That was your open brother. Because it was the only one that relied on that behavior.
Right.
And it started breaking and looks interesting too.
Right. So the really nice thing I like about that final couple, I guess it's a month of stabilization is that the patches that we're putting into the server at that point are very small. I want to make sure that there's an actual, ideally there would be a Bugzilla entry that says this is a regression from the previous release and here's a patch that fixes it. So in that final stabilization period, the most important bugs to fix are regressions. Changes from the last release or a couple releases ago. So any regression bugs are what we're trying to fix. So if you have some bug that's been around for 5 years and it takes 1,000 lines to fix it, not likely to get merged. But if you have some bug that, you know, like it got introduced that breaks your particular video driver that used to work a month ago, that kind of patch will work. Because we're trying to make sure that we don't make people's current working configurations stop working. And that's something that we picked up from the Linux kernel, which takes that pretty seriously. I think that's a really good policy we should try to maintain. So
the idea of velocity was essentially it doesn't matter whether you release the server at the beginning of that window or at the end, it should be releasable at any point in time.
Right. And so what I'm hoping to teach both developers and distributors is that when the stabilization period begins, that would be an ideal time to test the server. Because if you test the server and you find that it used to work and doesn't work now, that if you submit a bug on that and tag it as blocking the release, it will actually get looked at. And I think we looked at every single one. I know I looked at all of the release blocker bugs more than once in the process of this release. That was, who had that idea to go back to a release blocker?
Jeremy?
No. No. It was a really good idea to use a release blocker again. To actually track the bugs. Ajax fixed the bug from what, 1920 or something?
Yeah. Wasn't even hard, was it?
No, it wasn't a hard bug, but it was like, this bug's been around for forever. And, you know, just noticing bugs that people actually care about. What was a Zinorama bug?
Yeah, the release blocker thing really started in like 1.1 or so, where we'd had it for a while. And these were things that when I was doing release management, I want to make sure that as many of these as possible get resolved because these are things that both seem like egregious bugs and that probably aren't that hard to fix. And, you know, sometimes they skip a release or nine, but...
Yeah. Well, some of them are really hard to fix.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know, and so if you find, if there's something that annoys you about the server, mark it as a blocker. You know, we're not gonna promise to fix it, but if you actually bring a bug up to that level, then it will get looked at again, which is kind of a nice feature.
Don't misuse that tool.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, we're waiting out for another release. What does it mean? That's just too many.
So at some point, when it's getting close to the release, do things that are blockers that are obviously not going to get fixed, do they get unmarked as blockers? What happens with that?
We should move them forward to the next release.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we should move them forward.
And the reason I'm asking is because we're kind of going back to doing this blocker thing in Mesa, and I don't know, kind of seeing how it's used sensibly.
When I did release blockers, I would have a list, and there would be 30 on there, and I'd fix the 20 top. And the next 10 would move to the next server release, and a lot of them would keep skipping and skipping because just, you know, it's still a taste judgment at the end of the day. But I think it is still important to make a conscious effort to take bugs off of the blocker list.
That aren't actually blockers.
Right, that never should be.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, when we release 110, 19, everything that was on the 19 list and didn't get closed should go on the 110 list, even if they're...
Not necessarily. They should be reviewed. Should this actually be blocking our release? Should we stop? Would it be better for 110 not to ship until this got fixed?
Right.
And how does that particular discussion, how does that happen? Or does it?
Well, again, when I was doing this, it was pretty much my level of taste was whether or not they got fixed for a release. And
the discussion about do we go ahead and blocking while we wait for something to fix this?
Yeah, well, that's what we're not doing, except unless there was an egregious security regression, I would hold the release for any blocker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's really more of a prioritization scheme than we're going to halt the release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more like P0 bugs or something like that. So because
sure.
They're not blocking the release.
It's more like a release blocker.
It's called a tracker.
A release tracker.
It's more like a tracker bug than a blocker bug.
The salt sounds more reasonable.
Yeah. I think we call them trackers now. We don't call them blockers. Trackers.
But we wouldn't be fundamentally treating them any different. We're just giving them a better name.
Yeah, because unless there's a serious security regression, we have enough security holes. It's hard to say that we have new security holes. We have plenty of old ones.
At the moment, we have pretty still plenty of blocker bugs and have been blocker bugs for the last 3 releases. And we're hoping to do nothing in that code changed. Nobody cared that it wasn't fixed in the last 3 releases. So.
Right.
So there's really no tracking.
But if you're interested in helping the release, that's a good place to go look for bugs that are of particular interest in a particular release. So it would be nice to have all those fixed every release, but some they're either trivial or nearly impossible. Those are the two classes of bugs that have us.
Does anyone have any comments on the patch review submission? Any problems with it?
I have a comment, but I am also busy about what I'm going to say. we lack a process to pull back patches from various distributions or other systems like OpenBSD. I have a full batch of patches, and unfortunately, for the last releases, the OpenBSD release timing and the XORG release timing was too different, and so I could never merge the stuff in time for the next X release because I was busy with something else.
Yeah.
On the BSD side. And then on the BSD release time, I realized, wow, I still have this huge queue
of patches,
of stuff that I never submitted. And I think even if you look at the distribution in Red Hat, in Ubuntu and so on, they all have their own sets of patches. Some of them are interesting, some of them seems to me to be completely useless, but are just carrying on from release to release, because no one takes time to
I found a few myself, or I'm not quite sure what the patches do.
Most of that's my fault.
This is quite interesting. About 5 years ago, when we were going on, 5-6 years ago, this was the big problem going on, or that the old vendor was still maintaining their own patches.
I think that all of me, I do get a lot of a pretty large merge in every release where I do have, you know, I need to write 5 patches and 5 of them get in. They usually don't end up in the same format. Most of the patches that we're currently carrying in Fedora and RHEL are, well, in RHEL, are things that had to get done for one reason or another, but either aren't complete solutions, and so aren't things that we can really upstream yet, or that are things that would necessarily have to be done in a more portable way. A couple things that spring to mind are the PAM integration, which we basically drop the Fluorescence modularization, and detecting when SSH 4 declines or using MIT shared memory. You can't do that in a portable way because POSIX isn't that good. So in order to actually merge them, I would have to care enough about porting them to Solaris and OpenBSD. And I don't have time to do that for a RHEL release. But I do have time to do that for upstream releases. So I'll try to like merge things in every once in a while. A tree that says this is what, you know, this is what we've been carrying. And most of them for the last release got dropped, but that was my fault and the Anarchy Dying fault. But I'm doing the same thing now. I've got a fairly large queue from RHEL 6 that's, these are things that should go upstream because I don't want to have to carry them forever, but I do need to. But it's a lot of portability.
Are most of your patches portability patches for OpenBSD, or is it actually functional changes at this point?
There is one huge functional change, is the privilege separation code, and it's the same problem as Adam's with some Redis specific stuff. Is that I did it for OpenBSD, but there are this is missing for to support Linux or Solaris. And I promised myself 5 years ago when I first worked in school that I would do it.
Right. Well, I think for privilege separation, obviously the primary goal is to do the privilege separation across the kernel battery at this point of the X server. Okay. But I mean, there are a whole bunch of making sure that I don't know how we work with the distribution maintainer. OpenBSD and Fedora are good cases because they're actually tracking the master fairly closely, unlike Debian, which is 2 years behind. Debian has a huge pile of patches on 1.7 right now, because that's what they're going to be shipping in their next stable release.
They're pretty much all up front.
So you essentially
I've been pushing cherry picks to the 1.7 branch.
Yep. Yeah, because basically, does anybody else ship 1.7 at this point in their... Are you currently planning on doing future OS releases based on 1.7?
Unknown. We don't know what we will do for SP2 or 3.11 SP2.
Sure.
We just don't know yet.
But new slush releases will not be 1.7.
No, definitely not.
Right.
Of course. They will get 1.9, 2.0, whatever to do the next thing.
Yes.
RHEL 6 is the same way. We're on 1.77 at the moment, and we're not really sure what we're doing for 6.8.
Yeah.
Either way, I would like to at least know that any patch that I'm shipping, currently is a patch in RHEL in 6.0, I want it to get upstream so that I know it has had somebody else looking at it.
Yep.
And if I'm going to change to 1.8 or 1.9, I would rather see it merged that way so that I can drop it from my source RPM. Yep. So, I mean, you are always going to maintain some delta, but the delta that I'm carrying now is way better than it was in SC4. So that's all I really care about.
Yeah, that's good. As long as we're moving in the right direction. So it sounds like there's a bunch of OpenBSD stuff that would be nice to have merged. And certainly privilege separation is a big, I'm sure that's a fairly big patch.
It's not really. So one thing that I could talk about privilege stuff later. Yeah. Like I don't want to talk about it now, but I think that privilege stuff is not really the right way to do it.
Well, yeah. In any case.
Any other questions or concerns about the development process? I think we're almost back on schedule.
The main one I have is that I feel like this is entirely selfish, but I feel like the only person who reviews anything I do is Keith. And so it's difficult for me to get changes in. And I feel like there needs to be more people taking an active code review role. Because like, I try, Peter tries, Keith tries. And there's not a whole lot besides that. I mean, for Xlibs there is, but for anybody trying to look at like anything that dicks.
Yeah, I think that does reflect a lot of the reality of the complexity of the code that we're changing.
Most of the really difficult patches see on but the ones where I spent 3 or 4 hours wrapping my head around the protocol issues. Mm-hmm. See them like at least for 2 weeks and then Keith looks at them, screams and says it was probably right.
And I know Janie did a huge pilot review for the 1.9 series, which was greatly appreciated.
Yeah, definitely.
So we are training new maintainers to help review patches.
Yeah, that's really the only issue.
We need to also, I think a lot of, especially the newer users are probably scared of putting a review by up just in case someone else.
Yeah, if you put a review by tag on, I know everybody who reviews patches.
Yeah.
And so when I see somebody who's reviewing a patch in an area they're not that comfortable with, I'm very appreciative, and I take the review and the reviewer and the author, all of those things into consideration when I decide whether a patch looks like it's ready for review.
Yeah.
So yeah, review patches that you aren't comfortable with, review them for coding style, review them for comment clarity. Heck, if the comments don't let you understand the code, you should say that. This code still remains unclear to me. Can you make the comments describe what's going on better here? That kind of review would be great.
The only reason I really bring that up is because from 1.6.1, like in successive releases, since we basically started the review process, the velocity did go down in terms of raw number of changes. And there's some argument that better changes are going in, so you need to do fewer effective reverts. But I think that we still ended up with a lower raw rate, with a lower code rate of change. I think that things are slower to merge.
But the statistics in that case are a little bit skewed.
Probably.
Because 1.5 to 1.7 of all the MP exchanges, and it was 4 years of code going into one release.
Sure.
4 years of coding. So but you can't take that particular window as a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said, 4 years going in one go.
And we looked at the excerpt 5 years ago and said, where do we need to be?
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a huge amount of additional work that we have in the X server to improve the Linux desktop or the OpenBSD desktop,
yeah.
To improve our X desktop at this point. The X server is in pretty good. It does what it does.
Yeah. It certainly, I feel much more comfortable maintaining the RHEL 6 X server than the RHEL 5 X server, which is 1.1-ish. Plus,
MISC.
Any one of you that wants to go look at the source for that, feel free. It's not my finest work, but I mean, I feel like we're sort of converging on what we want to be. So maybe I'm overstating the case, but it does.
It is definitely a concern that we need to monitor is whether our review process is stifling change.
Yeah, we made it harder intentionally, and I think it's been broadly positive. But
yep,
did we go too far?
For me, the installation of Patchwork was a big win because it helps me remember which of my patches have been dropped.
Yeah.
But looking at if I don't filter it to only the patches I submitted, then there's this giant pile of all these different patches, and I have no idea what state they're actually in. Many of them were already merged. If more people were actually using Patchwork, I think it would be a lot more useful.
It's a huge maintenance pain that you have to go in and manually update it when stuff is done.
Yeah. I was hoping that I installed Patchwork, I didn't make it work. Paulus made it work. I was hoping that by using it, it would give people the opportunity to start using it and actively monitor when their changes get in. But if nobody does that, then it's, as James says.
Yeah. Well, it can be useful for each developer independently.
Yeah.
but as an overall, you know, I can't use it right now. Go look at Patchwork and see what I have not covered.
Right.
So I'm currently using my own Mayo queue, and I mark patches that I have merged in.
Coming back, can you please reply to pull request with thank you pool?
I can do that.
Because I try to, at least all the ones I'm doing, I try to reply that we have a sync with most that they can forget about that one.
I usually push pretty quickly, so it should be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think reply on the mailing list does help a lot in general.
Yeah, okay. Because others know that. Okay,
do you want me to reply to every pull and patch that I sent that I merge?
Just keep like your eyes in the sector on the
Yeah, we do have a commits list, but I don't know. For Linux, we've just got in the habit of replying with whether it's been applied, which branch it got applied to.
You can make
it mechanical with your mail client if you want.
That does make sense. I figured the commit list was sufficient, but I guess there aren't that many people on the commit list.
Well, there's a lot of commits that go by, and at least I put all my commits in the same folder.
Yeah.
Scale the Mesa junk and everything else. So it's
okay. I can do that.
Plus, it will increase our traffic on Zerk as well. So.
Gotta have
those
numbers.
A few comments on the stable release management. I don't know how happy you guys were with 1.7.1.8. I think 1.7 was reasonably decent. 1.8, but just that you could help, just couldn't handle it anymore. Jeremy is doing 1.9 stable now. I don't think he's here.
He's not.
Stable manager really means you're holding JRPG patches. Jeremy is going to be in the same boat as I am. I can easily go through and see it and look at all the changes. I can look at a couple of other changes. But if there's zero I changes, Jesse actually sent me a branch to me issue with the 1.8.
When you submit a patch that's fixing a bug, and the bug is on the stable server, and you want that patch to emerge from the next stable release, send it to the stable maintainer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it works in the kernel. You CC stable in kernel bar.
Yeah. We don't have a stable.
We can have an alias pretty easily, stable in XR, but we pretty easily alias to set up.
It's a new process, I realize. It's time to adjust to.
And it's,
it is really hard because on the one hand, you kind of want to fix bugs in the stable release. And the other end is like, I can't charge 90% of these commits.
Yeah.
So, and Jeremy's going to be much more spotted because Xcourse, he'll be happy when Xcourse keeps working. Anything else? If
yeah.
It breaks, it's our fault.
Well, that's, I've said for, at least for the X360X, I'm willing to help out, but it takes a lot of changes matter too. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to hopefully try to cover the other half of 1.9.
I would do that. For the tests we've done for both the releases and any other releases.
And we're actually getting better at it. That's the impressive thing.
Yeah, the problem is that I should have found that every single test needs to be audited, every single one of them, regardless of whether it fails or successes. Because I know some of the BRAC tests succeeded when they shouldn't have and failed when they should have, well, shouldn't have. And also, I don't know who wrote XTS, but. There's some interesting stuff in there. So.
No, it was not done by Todd.
Oh, okay.
So it was contracted out before Todd existed.
Did you ever look at the actual tests? We have hash defines for a reason. Using. Don't just look at whatever hash define that was, copy the number, and then just use it hard coded in the tests. Things break whenever they change or add to the protocol.
Yeah.
Have to fix some of those. But yeah, if anyone has the time or is willing to go through the XTS results and maybe replace, can you do one for that? XTS run?
I did not.
I should probably do justice.
Right.
I think from 1.7.6, which I think was the first one that passed XTS without crashing, I think we have results for every release,
yeah.
Except for 1.9, which isn't it?
Yeah.
It's easy to reproduce.
Yeah. Cool. Let's copy
back
then.
Okay, so the cafeteria is in the same place as this morning.
Yep.
And we need to pack everything from the room, including and everything, because there is some echo items.
After an adventure session.
As a request from anybody, one, again, if you have slides that you want to, that you're using for your presentation, give me a copy somehow. Don't really care how. Preferably not paper. And also, if you've had any interesting side conversations, things that you know, you guys, that you hash something out with other people that are here, please at least make a note of what we're talking about and what you concluded, and try to put it on the wiki under the notes section for XDS 2010. Because one of the complaints we've had from people in the past is this was decided at XDS, and why was it there? So I didn't really hear about it. So there's a lot of good things going on here. Make sure you write them down and put them somewhere up so people can read them. That's all for me.
That's Ajax at Red Hot, right?
Ajax at redhot.com.